trying to stay away from those kind of scenarios right now, but like next week I figure I'm ready for action. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm planning for everything. We can get into that later if you want.
Sure.
But there's a whole
bunch
of water over here right now and a whole see, this is gonna happen a bit today, TK.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a bunch of mumbling from this side.
It'll be fine.
Good stuff. There's a reason there's an opioid crisis, TK.
There's a reason.
Because these are really good. And they give them out pretty easily.
Ooh-wee. They're just like this.
Here's a bag.
You stub your toe. Yeah. You know what? I think I got the answer for you. Okay. But I mean, on that note, and to relate it to housing and stuff like that, I think those two things are pretty correlated. Like, you know what I mean? Like, since the
housing
mass amount of
opioids?
Homeless. Yeah, like the whole, you know, the whole epidemic in regards to, you know, mental health and the opioids and you know, lack of services and all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
like
we should get into this with Rachel later because she's big into that.
Yeah, and somebody was talking to me yesterday about, oh, it was the court system and how underfunded the court system is. Like, it's just so, it's so crazy how
it wouldn't be
little
underfunded.
Little funding there is in these important services that we've kind of prided ourselves on for years in Canada as being like this great system. But really, when the government's supposed to pay for it, they find ways to cut.
Abuse.
And,
it's
health,
the abuse.
The healthcare system is definitely the reason. Like and we'll talk to Rachel about this more. But the healthcare system delays, lack of resources, lack of funding, all that kind of stuff is a big part of the housing crisis, the homeless housing crisis, the tent crisis.
The tent crisis,
right?
Which is
just prices on housing. That's another factor, I know, but it's not like it's a bunch of people sitting on the street going, you know, I got to go to my job at 8 o'clock today, and then I got to pick up my kids, and then I got to go to the bakery, but I'm living in a tent. They're living in a tent because they got issues. They're not working that steady of a job. They're not able to, you know, cope with life. They're not able to have those type of things that, you know, we take for granted. And it's led them to be living on the streets and in the tent.
Well, there's probably some fairly normal people that gave up on the idea of renting or owning a home that are living in tents.
And so they're working a 40-hour week?
No, probably not. They're doing weird shit, but I don't know what people are up to. I don't know what people are doing, but I imagine that the tent crisis is going to get worse as the weather gets warmer now and more people come in, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the immigration is slowed. Maybe the students from India slowed, but they're still people piling into this.
I got a decent sized backyard, and I could probably get, you know, a good handful of tents back there, and I should probably put out some ads, you know, that I'm renting tent space.
I think so.
I mean, that's it. I mean, they won't let me do Airbnb at my house, so maybe
what about
I should
all these...
set up a bunch of tents and let people know, hey, between May and September, come and stay at my place. But what would my neighbors would think?
I heard that all these people that didn't file their vacant home forms on time that are having all kinds of problems. I heard this rumor that the government sold their data to the homeless people in tents and that they're going to say, hey, you know, these houses are all empty.
Yeah.
You should go live there.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Imagine instead of
Can
a tax.
Can you imagine?
Well,
that's
did you not
tax,
hear what happened in? Did you not hear what happened in?
Got a crazy bill
in one of
for
the
that.
States. In one of the states,
with the squatters.
Yeah.
What state was that? What story? There's squatters all over it. California. Yeah, but, the rules are kind of, and Florida. Yeah. I think the rules.
Not,
are
no,
kinda...
Florida. No, Florida's like you just bring your shotgun and get the people out of your house.
They're... Oh, so then it's California is like, yeah. Well, squatters have rights too, and
yeah, but
you know,
there's one as Montana or one of those states that literally. It's like thousands of houses have squatters in it. And it's like all these people basically are saying, hey, you're a Canadian and you live out of town, or this is your summer home or whatever, and you weren't using it. So now it's mine. And they're just
people
like,
are going on the MLS.
Well, they have rights too, you know.
They're going on the MLS and they're like breaking the lockbox. They see that the house is vacant, it's for sale. They break the lockbox, they move in, and all of a sudden it's their place.
Yeah.
And they're having issues because legally it's
like
a lease.
There's some laws that protect them.
So, so I watched this video about this guy who is a squatter buster or something like this. His mom had an issue like I'm talking about where they put it on the market because I guess she needed to sell, and some squatter moved in. And so because the son didn't own the house, the squatter went and squatted, right, beside the squatter.
Yeah.
And got the same right to the squatter, but he actually had a lease from his mom, so he became an actual real tenant. And yeah, that's how he was able to get rid of the squatter.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He did that.
He shot the guy in the head.
He did that on purpose. He created a tenancy so that his rights superseded the squatter. Right. The squatters. Yeah,
how
yeah,
fucked
yeah
up is that? Way. You think but it's bad in Ontario, yeah, right? Like, look what you got to do. Holy. Imagine. TK, like, comment, and subscribe to the channel with your good arm.
Do we need to do a like, comment, and subscribe?
We just did, but we could do another one.
Oh, all right. Well, no, that's
you
good.
You obviously didn't like mine, so go ahead.
It's perfect. No, it's perfect. Go ahead. Well, this is the Canadian Real Estate Show here, coming live from our studio in downtown Toronto, overlooking the bay. We just like to remind our listeners tonight to be liking, commenting, and subscribing to the channel. Please share the content. We're just trying to bring more real estate news to people far and wide from coast to coast. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.
Please subscribe. And
well,
yeah. Well, okay, we got some interesting news this week before we bring our guest on, who's already waiting in the wings. But this has been a crazy week for housing, I think, or at least for announcements to look good, like you're trying to do something about housing.
There's a lot of noise.
A lot of noise coming from that yapper up there, that bastard who was a guest on the show, thankfully, last week.
Yeah, let's not take very sides. Enjoyable. You know, let's just keep the information.
No
factual,
sides. No sides.
Definitely, but seems like we're going to be getting a new government next year.
There's a lot of he's throwing out a lot of billions of dollars though towards this housing market, or getting more, I guess, supply on the market. The government has decided that it is definitely a supply side issue, and then that is the one that they have control over, because the demand is out of their control. There's nothing they can do to curve that at all, unless it's curve it up. That they seem to be able to do.
The economy is more important than controlling the demand side. So unfortunately, the tools they have to control the demand side hurts the economy. And that's the more important.
Hurts the overall economy.
Yeah, that's the more important.
Us in real estate don't really care about the overall economy, as long as housing is booming and bustling.
No, we care. Right? It's all related.
It's true. It's all related. But they're throwing billions of dollars around. And what's unfortunate, TK, is if you get into the meat and the potatoes of this thing, okay? If you dig in,
it's our billions.
Well, it's our billions. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere, so that can't be good for anybody. But if you dig deep, they've got like 15 billion for that, and 6 billion for this, and $1.5 billion for that. But for the technology, the research and development of new technology that would help bring on more housing faster, which is the goal, right? More housing faster, more supply. It's like a piddly $600 million to put out there in research. So like, if someone had a great idea, you know,
get in line.
But the line is of one with $600 million. Like one of these factories, to really fully automate and come up with something that works, you need more than $600 million. Like, this is crazy.
Sure. I was at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and it was $2.3 billion to make that thing.
To make the Sphere.
I'd love to see the investment performa that says that they're going to get all their money back. I'd really
like to. I thought they were already bankrupt. I thought they were already like in trouble.
I would really like to see, like, you know, whoever created that. They're like, all right, in the first year, we're going to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
And they were just like, that means that we're going to have people coming in all day long, every day. The theater was half empty.
Half empty. Yeah. I mean, the initial buzz wore off.
It's fun. I mean, it was a great show, but I mean, like, I don't see why it's going to, you know, be very profitable. And they were talking about making 5 more of them across the globe and all that kind of stuff. And I think everyone's probably looking at it going like, maybe not such a great idea.
Maybe it's just a giant.
We'll just stick with our IMAX.
hypnosis machine. Yeah.
We built an IMAX for $10 million in the mall. We'll just keep that.
Yeah, and like, how much was the one out in Vaughan that was shaped as a flying saucer? I mean, even that thing wasn't $1 billion, I'm sure. That thing made money too, right? Yeah. At least for a bit. Now that's, I can't imagine anybody making any money. Not that anybody's making any movies. That's kind of annoying, especially when you're sitting around on drugs with nothing to do all day. You need some content. And there's only so much Canadian real estate stuff.
But you should be well-versed then. You should be able to educate everybody today on the show with all the stuff you've been reading and studying. Because
I've been watching the Marvel movies in order from the beginning. And I'm maybe halfway through. Yeah, it's been a long haul, TK. But there's more important things going on. What about the market? What's going on out there from the award-winning residential and commercial award-winning TK Butler?
Sure, sure. So
what's going on the ground, Mr. Award-winning TK Butler?
I'm getting showings. I'm getting offers. I'm you know, one property this week sold that was it's kind of an interesting story. Like, we put the deal together and then the girl dropped the deal. You know, she said couldn't get her financing and she changed her mind and all that kind of stuff. So I'm doing the deal on the plane ride home. And on the plane ride home, I'm getting a text because, you know, you only got text, you got the Wi-Fi. And she's like, no, she changed her mind. She's out. And I'm like, I'm never doing a deal on a plane ever again. Right? Like, it's just never going to happen. And so anyways, this week,
$15 more for the Wi-Fi. Maybe
I did. I paid like $18 or whatever. Okay. I couldn't get the deal done. So anyways, this week she came back and was like, hey, you know, we want to strike a deal. And I'm still getting showings and everything worked out. And
haircut,
you know,
haircut?
She came for a haircut, but ended up, you know, not getting it. And we sold it for the same price that we had originally agreed on. And everybody was happy. And we gave her a little bit longer closing and it made sense for us. So everybody won. Everybody walked away a winner. Obviously, there was no other properties out there that were better. Now I'm working on one today where the offer's coming in low. And so I'm not going to read too much into that. You know, it's not matter. It doesn't matter where they start. It matters where they finish. But lots of showings. There's lots of people out there. But I mean, the TREB numbers show, you know, no real growth. You know, we had a big jump up from February to March. No, we're in April now. From January to February. From February to March, you know, there really wasn't a significant increase in prices. Inventory starting to rise a little bit. Sales, you know, weren't anything to brag about. You know, I mean, is it a spring market? Yeah. But I'm very concerned that once the spring market's over, this sort of like lackluster interest that's just kind of sitting around will change into, you know what, I got better things to do. We're not in a crazy spring market at all.
No crazy spring market.
January, we were like, oh my God, it's back. It's not back.
You and everybody keep promising this inventory that's supposed to be coming.
Inventory is climbing up slowly and slowly.
Is it?
The people
there. Like condos only.
The houses are the same, but really? Just people. The problem is, and I've been talking about this forever, and I'm going to just say it again: is the people who own all the housing aren't stressed about money. That's the truth.
Like, not all of them, but some of them.
The majority of people who own a house right now.
But what about the deferral? 42%
don't have a mortgage, so they're not worried. There's a bunch of people who have a very small mortgage, so they're not. It's such a small fraction of people who have this huge loan to value, who have this, you know, mounting debts, who've been impacted by interest rates. Yes, those people need to sell, but it's like a fraction of the
market. But
the problem.
What do they say though? The fringe buyer sets the market, or the. I mean, it only takes one fucking asshole to increase the value on the street or decrease the value on the street.
Sometimes.
Like,
I'll
comps.
Tell you a good story. I'll tell you a good story. My partner, he sold his own property this week for $500,000 over asking. Maybe it was last week.
$500,000 over asking?
No, it was last week.
Last week.
And, you know, like, hey, crushed Rachel. The most recent sale on the street by like $200,000,
$300,000. Oh, I can't hear you.
You know? Sure. So, it was interesting to see that people are still excited and that they're willing to go way more than even what the last person said. Hi, Rachel. Welcome. How are you?
Hi.
Good to see you again.
There you are.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Absolutely. Yeah.
Happy Saturday.
What's going on with you? Are you out there serving notices or what? What are you up to this weekend?
Are you evicting people, calling the sheriff?
I'm evicting people all the time.
All the time.
Oh, it's your favorite thing to do.
That's not her favorite thing to do. She's got a good heart. She doesn't like that. She wants to help people.
It's true. I actually don't really like evicting. Well, okay. So I don't like evicting some people, but certain people I really like evicting.
For it, you know? You like winking at them as they walk away in handcuffs, going, "You see, I got you, you fucker."
Handcuffs, yeah, right.
No,
that's collections.
That's collections.
I like the collections too for that reason. There's some people who just really deserve to have their bank account seized.
Oh my gosh. Do you have those like extreme cases where, you know, the debt is so much and that the landlord really feels like I need to collect this money, and it goes all the way into like garnishing wages and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's actually okay. So it's kind of funny, you know, I do property management and I also do rentals. So I rent apartments and, sometimes I manage the properties that I rent. So like probably like, I'm going to say like six or 7 years ago, I all of a sudden had like these people, they're all working, they're all decent, you know, and like, they all like just stopped paying rent. And one guy really pissed me off because he like faked Intrac e-transfer receipts. So
I sent it. I swear to God.
Here's
see
the proof. Where's the money?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, that he sent the proof.
Yeah.
It was fake. But I don't know if you remember back to the beginning of Interact e-transfer. Like you could only collect like 10,000 at a time. So tenants had really latched on to e-transfers. So because of the property management company, I'm collecting like maybe like 30,000. 40,000 in e-transfers, and we're transitioning away from checks entirely. So, I was in this. So this joker fakes that e-transfer receipt. And so I have to go through like my three different accounts that I'm using for these e-transfer deposits, and the password and everything. And like, I'm really pissed off at the guy. And the first month he sent it to me, I'm like, okay, like I didn't see what account it landed in. So I sent the money to the owner. So then he owed me the money, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next month he did the same, like he actually tried to do the exact same thing. And then I'm like, no, like, and then I'm like, this is just so weird. Like I'm short in my accounts. It's not working out. So like, he's one of the ones that really kind of ticked me off. And then another famous couple that you might know of, Gary Batchelor and Mandy Chapel, they're like, they were actually charged with fraud last year because they defrauded like 9-10 landlords. So I was like part of that collection of landlords. So anyway, so I have like maybe like 80,000, 100,000 worth of like all these jokers, right? And back then it was like 2,000 to 5,000 for each file, not like 20,000 and 40,000 like it is now. So I like go on this quest. I'm like, why am I getting people's application, their employment, their banking information, their photo ID, and their employer and pay stubs if I'm not going to do anything about it at the end of the day? So then I started a quest to find somebody who could collect. And I went through like 3-4 lawyers before I found somebody who was able to kind of just collect the money.
Yeah, you know, see, that's like, your mistake. You're going to a lawyer to collect money. TK even knows that you got to go to at least a biker bar must know a
Igor
guy
collects.
Yeah,
let's just say that I don't know what he does, but the money just shows up.
I met a guy.
I went through the legal process and I found out, like I found, like after like bombing around for actually a couple years and changing my files from one place to the other, I finally found this one guy who was like pretty crazy about it. And I called it the collection project. And I was like, I want to know like what this legal process is, because supposedly I'm supposed to be able to collect my money, but I want to see what it is. And so that guy is my like still paralegal to this day. And that's a part of the business that I actually have, where there's like literally like millions and millions and millions of dollars of unpaid LTV judgments out there just waiting to be collected. And I even assign them. So
it's a whole business market. There you go.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah, how much do you sell them for? What percent do you have to lose on one of those?
Well, no, because here's the thing. It's very efficient because if I assign them, essentially I own the judgment. And then I just continue looking for the people. The judgment's good for 6 years. And if you know the legal process, which I do now, because like, of course, when I was like finding out about it, like what happened is the money just started flowing in. Like when somebody knows how to use the process, the money starts flowing in, like garnishments, bank accounts, all that stuff. And I had like kind of committed like in a real landlord nerd kind of way to like, just like, I'm like, I'm just going to see what somebody can do. I'm just going to pay these stupid invoices and see how far we can take this process. So that was kind of interesting. It led to some very interesting places. Like we did this garnishment hearing on this real deadbeat. His wife worked at the hospital and he's a contractor. So there was no need for him to default. And he really mistreated the owner in like, I'm going to call it like a religious abuse kind of way, where he's like, yeah, you know, we're the same culture, you know, like, don't throw me out. Like, you know, God wants you to keep me as a deadbeat in your house kind of thing. Yeah,
God,
you know,
generally wants deadbeats to screw landlords. That yeah. seems to be the general consensus. So yeah.
So we got to the point where we'd given him so many notices, a garnishment hearing, that he was going to be held in contempt of court and be sent to jail.
Oh, wow. I've never been threatened to be held in contempt of court. Have you, TK?
Well, because you show no up, comment. Right?
No comment. So that's why they threatened to hold me in contempt, because I show up. But that's a whole other show for a whole other channel. So nowadays, though, you alluded to it, but the accounts must get fairly deep the way things are currently not working at the moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like 35, 40K.
And that's before you get your hearing?
How many small landlords can afford $30,000 to $40,000 in arrears and carrying the property and all that? Like, that was not part of the plan.
Most people don't see it.
It's the magical money tree.
What about Cash for Keys right now? What do you see?
Okay, so I want to talk about this a lot, and I'm very pragmatic because I've been doing this a long time, and I'm a property manager, so Cash for Keys has always been on the table. And like, I'm not a fan of rewarding bad behavior, right? So like, I've never, like, how can I say, intentionally like done Cash for Keys deal unless there was absolutely no choice. So I'll give you an example. This goes back like way when I started property management. There was this lady who had an incontinent Rottweiler in a building. And I'm telling you, it was stomach churning. Like, and then you would tell her to clean it and she would pour bleach on it. So then it was stomach churning and your eyes would burn from the bleach. Like, there, it was a triplex on Maplewood Avenue. And like the other tenants moved out. So I had just started with this property management gig and they're like, oh, go see your new property. And I go there and I start like dry heaving because the smell is so bad. And like my prospective tenants are also like holding their nose. It was so horrible. So the problem is, and that was what the paralegal at the time said, like, how do you prove a smell? Okay. So you go to the landlord and tenant board and you say, my tenant smells real bad. And your tenants, the other tenants vacated. So how do you prove that they vacated because of the smell? And so you're in this situation where you can't, like you just can't prove it, right? So there you go. So you have to have recourse to other methods of convincing tenants to leave. And that's Cash for Keys, right? So that particular tenant was given $5,000 and moved out the next month. And we had to like gut the basement where she was living, and we re-rented the place, and that was that, right? So, I mean, is cash for keys terrible? Like, you have to understand the landlord and tenant board is a civil court, right? So like if to evict a tenant, but you want them to move, you have to pay them to move. Like what, I mean, they're not, the tenants aren't making the stupid laws. And I'm going to give you like an example of that. Like this one just happened like a, I don't know, like 2-3 days ago. So the tenant, the new landlord, like it's an offer of purchase and sale. The new landlord's a corp. Okay. Corps can't give N12s. That's it.
What's an N12? So what's an N12?
The that's the
move in for your own personal use.
Yeah, personal use or buyers.
Got it. Renoviction, right? N12 is a renoviction.
No, that's N13. A renoviction is N13. Hmm. But we never had that many of those. Oh. I mean, there was a lot of press about it, but really there's like less than 200 in all of
those
Ontario.
Are hard to do.
Right,
yeah.
No, because everybody's niece is moving into the place.
But the, yeah, sister, exactly. But the right? N12 applications are up like 400%. Like it's a crazy, like 80% of the hearings are N12s, right? So they're concerned. That's why the government's trying to like get involved.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Like, landlords are stuck between a rock and a rock, you know? Like, and they're not like easy rocks because like their mortgage, let's say it used to be 4,000 and they were collecting for, you know, 3,000. Now their mortgage is like 7,000 and they're still collecting the same amount.
If they're
and
collecting.
They want to get rid of the place. Like, what's in it for them? You know, like they don't have to subsidize other people's housing. So, you know, they want to sell the place, you know, or they just don't want to, like, essentially most of the time they kind of want to sell the place and, you know, they just want to sell it, but they need to like fix it up before they sell it so they can get the maximum dollar in, you know, this soft market. I mean, March had the least sales of any March since I don't know when. So, I mean, that's the reality in spite of the fact that you see it plastered everywhere that, you know, we're getting bidding wars and stuff. If there's less sales, I don't care how many stupid people are overbidding. That doesn't really change the volume, does it? I mean, so,
It seems like the incentive wasn't really there to be a landlord before. And now it seems like the incentives are getting worse instead of better. What's going to happen here when the incentives to build more are going in the toilet and the incentives for smaller landlords disappear off the face of the earth?
Rent inflation, right?
More
rent
inflation.
What's the rental rates right now, Rachel? Like what's...
Well, okay. I'll be honest with you. So I have two brand new condos for rent downtown. And we're going to talk about this too, because there's two parts to this. So the first part is the market's soft. I mean, like, actually, I had a showing this morning. I had two showings scheduled for a place on Jarvis that just came open. They didn't confirm. I had like maybe 10 inquiries. I responded to all of them. Like, and then I have another place on Portland, brand new building. Again, same thing. I have a showing this afternoon at 3. That place has been on the market for 4 or 5 months. And every place in the building's been on the market for 4 or 5 months. So like for me, and I mean, like I have one famous guy on Twitter who continues coming back and mocking me for saying that the rental market is soft, right? But that's the reality of what I see. Like when people are like inquiring and making appointments and not showing up, I mean, like what am I supposed to think about?
They got
that?
Other options.
Right.
They feel like there's something else out there. So what you're saying is right now, compared to what you were seeing, what, a year ago, you're saying that the rental market, because when the numbers come out, they always keep showing us that rent prices are going up. They keep showing rent
is
going up.
Vacancy rates are under 2%.
Yeah. So
yeah, well, not in the luxury condo market. Let me compare that. I had a...
So basically every condo that's been built in the last 4 years, is in that pool, right? Because every condo, nobody hasn't come out as a luxury building in the last 5 years. There's
new building. Yeah,
it's luxury. It's not
compared to a 50-year-old apartment building. Yeah,
okay.
And that's the problem too. That's and I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
The product is shit.
Shitty product. Yeah.
Shitty. Like the place on Jarvis.
Yeah.
Is 375 square feet. Studio
375 for a human being. Okay,
and so what's the rent? What are they at? What's the rent on that?
$19.95.
It's like $5 a square foot.
Here, do that again, TK. We need a new hooey.
Yeah. Over $5 a square foot. That's a steep price. That's a steep price to pay.
Crazy. Hold on a sec. Is this this is like an investor that owns multiple condos throughout the city? Or who is this? You?
This guy is—he's made a fortune buying pre-con over the years. A really nice guy. He doesn't move his tenants out or screw them around, so that's good.
And does this one make money at that price?
Oh God, no! No, of course not.
Oh my God. Okay, so hold on.
God knows how much. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Those guys are leveraged because they're the pre-con numbers. Guys are leveraged to the gills, but they own a lot, and they made a lot of money in the last 10 years. Leveraged.
I don't think this guy is leveraged because he's been doing it for like a long time. So he's sitting on like,
the guys that I know who are very wealthy, lots of like, they got a ton of equity. They own a ton of units. They've been doing it for a long time. And they're just, you know, normal people who just got in at the right time and started buying them for $200,000-$400,000 years ago. Yeah. It's hard to get mortgages. So they're leveraged. They got private loans. They got different types of loans, that kind of stuff, because it's always been working for them in the past.
They got a fund.
Probably. You know what I mean? It always works out in the end, right? It always works out. So they're stressed right now. Yeah. Those guys, they're stressed.
So that's the one place. And then the other place is on Portland. That's a 2+ den, but it's 800 and change square feet.
So hold on a sec. Wow. Which one was on the market for 4 months?
The studio has been on the market for, I think, a couple months now.
Wow. And okay. People are renting beds for $500 a month.
But it's a bachelor on Jarvis for $2,000 a month. That's a tough sell.
Jarvis is a hot spot
for
people.
I don't hate it. I'll be honest with you. I don't hate it. Like the place is nice and neat and very acceptable for a single person or a couple who are just like, it's
tiny.
Yeah. So
it's tiny, but who cares?
They have to be pretty small.
So rents aren't escalating like they were before. What about the hearing? So now you got an issue, you got a legitimate N12, N4, you got some, you know, issues that need to be resolved.
Tenant Bill of Rights.
You're filing the L1, L2s, and what's happening now compared to before? Okay,
so here's the latest scoop. So they went from like almost a year, right, for scheduling for non-payment of rent to around 4 months now.
What?
So they've done a lot to improve the system. Oh. I'll tell you like a little bit about it, and I'll tell you how they're kind of gaming us, okay? So it used to take, okay, so one of the things that was really like a shit show during COVID is they wouldn't give you a court date. So you imagine like a paralegal, like I'm not a paralegal, but the paralegal that works in my office during COVID, other business was slow. So we just like filed like all these evictions, but he didn't get court dates. So there was this period of time where all these court dates started to happen like randomly, you wouldn't know. And then your schedule, like you'd be scheduled for 4 in a day or something ridiculous, you know? And because you didn't know your court date. And then after a while, the landlord and tenant board would be like, hey, here's your court date. And you didn't have a choice. So they kind of changed that. They have a new system now. And so they changed it so that you get to schedule a court date, which is really important if you're a legal professional, so that you don't have conflicting, like you don't have two court things at exactly the same time. And so that's the first thing that they did. And they shortened the time. So now they're down to 4 months for non-payment of rent. Which is pretty good. Sometimes I just saw one pop up. It was like 3.5 months. So that's a lot better. So I have to give some credit for working on that, because the main issue is non-payment rent. A lot of the other issues can just hang on for a bit. Okay. Like, you know, L2s or whatever, but still they're working on it. So we have to give them some credit for that. The only, so now the downside of that is that they're scheduling like maybe 30 matters for a 4-hour block. So if you look at it, it takes like
half of them get done.
Yeah. So, you know, you better take your opportunity to do your matter, or you're going to left behind, you know, you're going to get adjourned. So, and in that kind of block is, you know, like, so you got to know the system. You got to be up front. You got to be right in there. You cannot be messing around. Otherwise, you'll be there all day and then you'll get put off at the end of the day. You'll get adjourned and then you're going to wait another month or two. So during the whole like kind of COVID, you know, court hearing process that they came up with and on the transitioning to Zoom and everything, the Ontario government has used like three and four possibly more different filing systems. So some of them,
that makes sense.
They didn't track any. They can't track. Like if you read the ombudsman report, which came out, which is, I don't recommend. Well, you should read it if you're a nerd like me, but not like a light reading. But essentially what they said is that some of these legacy systems that they first came out with when they were trying to digitize the landlord and tenant board, they have no way of tracking how long they've been on the books, how long people have been waiting, and what the matter is about. Okay. So that to me is a big problem. So, and a lot of the ones that are put off, and I mean, let's talk a little bit about tenants, are the tenant cases. So as much as the landlords are whining and complaining about how long they have to wait and they have these $50,000 arrears,
oh, right,
yeah. If you're a tenant with legitimate maintenance concerns, right? Mm.
And like a big building that's owned by a multi-billion dollar company and you're just trying to get your fair share.
Mice killed, you know, maybe your mice killed.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or your ceiling fixed.
Yeah.
Or like it rains inside or whatever.
Who's worse, you think, though? Like mom and pop investors with regards to that, or big companies that own big apartment buildings? Who pushes off maintenance?
There's a few building owners that are, their reputation's pretty bad.
But they're trying to empty the building. Big players, no?
Exactly. And they've got some real cases against them because of that. Yeah.
But typical rental companies, I'd say they'd
professional.
Be on it like pretty quick.
Yeah, they are, but sometimes they're not, you know. Right. I mean, sometimes it's something that, like, I mean, it can't be avoided. Like, for example, we had one in a condo building that was built, and when the sun would shine on the building, it sounded like gunshots in the apartment. So every
my
morning,
my landlord is shining the sun on the side of my building and causing gunshot noises in the middle of the night when I'm trying to sleep. Doesn't he know I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for work?
Well, you know,
that's what
I'm
it
not,
said.
I'm
though.
Not paying. I'm not paying G5, this month
that's what
until
it said.
You rectify.
I'm not paying until he fixes this problem.
Yeah, what the hell?
So I mean, that's like so. So sometimes it's not necessarily like it can take a long time. Like if you have like. Not all problems in buildings you can fix like that. You could just call, like it's a leaky tap, you can call the plumber, but you know, what if it's something major in the stack or, you know, like not everything is simple, you know, like.
No, but things take longer when the landlord is behind every single month because they bought something stupid and they hate it versus, you know, somebody owns a good piece of property that's making money every month. They'll fix things, I think, generally in a different way and in a different timely manner, right?
Well, we all know that the cap rates on some of the buildings that changed hands were at 3% and interest rates are at 6% now. And so, you know, when those buildings refinance, like it's a huge problem because, you know, like how do you feed 400 units at 7%? You're losing 4% a month on $10 million. Like, yep. How the hell are you going to fund that? And I mean, I've worked in buildings like that where people overpaid. I work for this doctor. I mean, he bought a building and it was, I did the spreadsheet for him. I did the calculations. I'm like, dude, like your building,
what are you doing?
$10,000 a month. Like that's how much I need. And then he would say things like, oh, well, I put 8,000 already this month. I'm like, you're short 2,000. Like, and so like in that building, I actually ended up like it was like the worst job ever because I was like a hero and a zero So like the guy didn't want to pay for maintenance. So he had like one guy turning over units. So if you're a property manager, you want all your places ready to rent on the 10th. So let's say you have 10 people move out. You want all your units done by the 10th. So you can't have one guy fixing 10 units and having them all ready for the 10th so that you can rent them for the end of the month.
How many units was that building? Sorry, Rachel.
That one was like 72, but we had a major issue there because they had electric heat in the unit. So like, and at that time, Toronto Hydro used to bill every 2 months. So you could tell by the level of, so people would just leave because in the winter their hydro bill was like $800 and they just didn't have the money to pay it. So they would go like either short the rent, and they weren't smart enough to pay $400 every month. So it was just a, we had a lot of like turnover because of that.
Yeah.
So that was, so those are kind of things that happen. And then, so like every month I would be short. So then, you know, he'd say, well, you know, we're not going to do, you know, we're going to use just the one guy, and then we get behind, and then things wouldn't rent. And I'd go show him, I'm like, how am I supposed to rent this? It's disgusting. There's still like dirt and dust and not clean. And, you know, because we're using one guy, like it makes no sense. And then he'd be, but that was like a money saving initiative because he, the guy was on salary or whatever. Then I wasn't able to rent it. Then he'd be like, oh, you're a piece of shit. You can't rent anything. And I'd just be like, okay, well, you know, like have a look at these and tell me if you could rent them, you know, who would live here. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, okay. So then they'd be like an initiative like the next month to, okay, we're going to get all your units ready when you need them. Okay. And then they'd all get rented, you know? And then I'd be like, oh yeah, Rachel's great. And then the next month, the cycle would start again, you know? But the real problem is that the money is not there. Like the guy has to put in 10 grand a month, every month. That's 120 grand a year, right? To feed his building. And it's like,
it's an expense property. It's not a income property.
72 units.
It's imagine not fun. You own 40. It's not fun losing money every month and knowing it.
Especially when that's the, like, that's the property. It's not like, it's much different than if it's like, okay, 1 month I got to chip in. But if that's literally, it's like, this is the always best case scenario.
Yeah.
Well, you
know, lots of those out there, shoveling coal
every condo
furnace
that was purchased pre-construction is closing negative cash flow. They're putting in $1,500 bucks a month, maybe more.
We keep talking. We've talked about this a million times. Why the fuck were people buying it? I would always get these performas where in the bottom corner, it would have this appreciation section and it would put in some kind of a multiplier. And it was like, well, this thing really sucks. But when you look down here and you add appreciation for 5 years at 5% or whatever per year, this thing really hums in year six, right? And people were buying it based on
that. And the rent, the rental rates too were the same. So for example, the place that Rachel's talking about on Jarvis at over $5 a square foot, when the average in Toronto is maybe four, you know, that was on a performer when he bought that pre-con because it was three. And they said, by the time this is built, it'll be five. So he's like, I'm going to get $2,000 for this unit. And
rental guarantee.
Yeah. So that's part of it. So that, but the part of it is the product that we're getting is smaller, right? You're competing against every condo that's been built in the last 10 years, right? So you got this new condo, it's small, it just looks nice, but it's really small. And you're like, okay, so I got another one. Okay, so this is like my pet peeve that I've been seeing the last couple years, and it drives me crazy and it makes me like sick. And I don't know why people do, like why this is getting done, but it's getting done all over the city. Okay, so you have a two bedroom, okay, and the second bedroom has a glass, a clear glass door. So it can be a bedroom with natural light.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
building code approves it.
The 475 square foot two bedroom where no bedrooms
have a window. Percentage
light
type of thing. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's not even the window. It's just like frosted, you can barely glass. Fit a bed in it, right? The bedroom is so small, you can barely fit a bed in it. And like people literally ask me, they're like, oh, can I put a like a queen size bed in it? Because it looks so small. And then it's got to
lean it up against the wall.
Door.
Yeah.
Who needs a, who wants a freaking glass, like glass door on their bedroom? Like, are not people like
immigrants.
You don't have any friends over renters. When you have a 400 square foot one bedroom. No one's coming over to visit you.
I have people call me for that condo on Portland.
Well, it's 800 square feet.
Literally like five Indian students who want to all live together.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is the way. This is the way. Yeah.
Why wouldn't your guy take them?
I guarantee, like part of my service, if I rent a place, I guarantee it. Yeah. If that person gets evicted in the first year, I pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's good service. Like, I mean,
how often does that happen where you know, misjudge the
okay, so I evict people all the time. Well, actually you're going to laugh, but I had a landlord that was pretty desperate in December, and I put three Indian students in a basement apartment, like a brand new legal basement.
You're
apartment.
Part of the problem.
No, that's the tenant profile out there. There's like, you put something online on Facebook Marketplace in Kijiji or something like that. Yeah, you're going to have 30 of those guys.
But they moved in and didn't pay shit. They moved in and didn't pay shit. So, but that's the first one in like 5 years. And I was like very clear with her. I'm like, I verified all the employment. I verified everything. So, you know, what these guys don't know is that, and, you know, they're screwing around now because they're jokers, but they're like young men, right? So there's a profile there. you know, they're, by the time I'm done with them, and just for like fun facts, you know, their credit's going to be ruined, like until they pay me. And I will garnish their wages at every employer they ever get when I find them.
Yeah. But if they plan on going back to India,
I don't care. That's good.
That's the paralegals following them to India, bro.
Because that's the main thing. So I really like new Canadian tenants because they want to have a good credit history. They don't want to be into a tribunal, you know, because they couldn't pay their rent. They're very like, they're really responsible. But I guess if you find people who are students who are just like, you know, smart guys where they're just like, hey, listen, the system over here is broken. We're going back to India in a couple of years anyways. Let's just go there and rent a place and not pay.
Yeah.
You know, let's figure out how nice of a place we can get, you know?
It's not that. You know what? The new Canadians who came over initially, like this is the latest crop that's been put in, like the million.
Bad crop.
And okay, so it used to be that foreign students who came here had family support, but a lot of these people come from very poor farmer families where, you know, it's a lot of pressure for them to, it's essentially a golden ticket for their family, and their family doesn't have anything, and they like get together all the cousins and uncles and put together enough money for them to their best and brightest to go over to Canada to go to school, but they really don't have any money. They have to work when they get here. They don't have a choice. Like it's not the same. Like I have another family from Nigeria. They're renting a 3-bedroom condo in Mississauga somewhere that I rented to.
How much does that cost a month?
That one there was $3,000. But it's a decent size. It's like a two plus den, but it's livable. Like,
what's a decent size? Is it over 1,000 square feet?
I think it was like around 1,000 square feet. Like it's small, you know, compared to a house, but it was very livable. You know, like sometimes you get like, it's not always about the square footage, you know, like I've seen such terrible, the way that they make things. Like I remember like one place I had near square one, there was like two huge pillars in the living room so that you couldn't even put like a full-size couch in your living room. Like it was just like, what? Like what kind of layout is this? Like it was just like, I don't know what the people are doing, you know? So, and you're, if you're a condo owner, they don't really care. They're just like, this is your unit now. Like suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, what are these big round black dots on this drawing here? Don't worry about that. It's nothing. They won't be there later.
Yeah. So that's kind of the issue. So I was like, not very, I don't know. So, I mean, certain, like I've seen some very beautiful condos, like do not get me wrong. And I manage some beautiful condos. I manage a condo. It's like 900 square foot, 2-bedroom, but it overlooks It's got like a 1,100 square foot terrace that overlooks Lake Ontario.
Wow, where's that? In the Tip Top Lofts?
Stadium Road.
Where?
Yeah, Stadium Road.
Stadium Road, yeah.
On the other side of Tip Top, there's another building called Stadium.
I think it's called Stadium. Are they the townhouse, kind of like the stacked towns there on the water? I did a renovation in one of those things. Holy, did that go poorly. Yikes. That guy, this guy was an engineer for, what company was it? Like a major, major like aerospace company.
Bombardier.
So, like not Bombardier. Oh, I forget the name.
I know what you mean.
But he was so precise and so meticulous. And like we were doing tiles for the guy and it was... You couldn't make him happy like with anything.
He metal measuring lasers, things, the metal measuring things,
laser levels, and like marking like microns and stuff. And he just,
oh my god,
he was like, okay, you know what? Like, I gotta just quit. Anyway, so yeah, that's I knew the area because of how you described it. But yeah, so how big was that condo?
The condo itself is only 900 square feet because it's full glass and you have this huge terrace. It looks so much better.
Wow.
I mean, but it's like actually really, really nice and has a beautiful view. And you know what's interesting about that place is I found a tenant. Like it was hard to find a tenant for that place. And I'll tell you why. Expensive. Everybody who saw it, like the people who wanted to, it's not that expensive. The people who wanted to rent there were people who were doing Airbnbs. So she had this huge problem with Airbnb people wanting to have this party place. And all the condos there are, well, worth over $1 million. So most of them are owned by people who live there. So imagine you owned by somebody, you know, your condo is owned by, you're living there, and then you got some Yahoo. And so like one of the things that happened is I got called by security because my tenant's dog got free in the, hall and shit in the hall. Oh, so I get this call from security and they're like, your tenant's dog shit in the yard, in the hall. I'm like, what? My tenant doesn't even have a dog. And then it turned
out I don't even have a tenant. What are you talking about?
Holy it was like an Airbnb. I'm like, he must have made a mistake. And then he's like, oh, I rented it to Airbnb.
Yeah.
And then I evicted that guy, you know?
Boom, game the boot.
So I ended up getting this other guy who was just like a single guy who lives in this beautiful place. And he pays decent enough rent. But honestly, the owner doesn't care because he takes really good care of the place. And he doesn't party and doesn't cause any issues.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing, right? Because she had so many problems there because the way the place was laid out. And the dude who was there before was actually advertising terrace parties.
Sure, he had 1,100 square feet of terrace.
Exactly who the market is. Yeah,
and then before that, I evicted how I got to know this owner, I evicted the lady who, she was running a sun tanning salon out of there.
What? A sun tanning salon?
But the crazy part is, Daryl, even if it's a residential unit.
Like a fake tan?
Yeah. Oh, fake spray tan. Oh my God. But the walls,
Daryl,
look
even,
like...
even if they start running a business out of your unit, you still have to go through the same process to evict them. Like it's like there's no like immediate recourse for anything. Like literally, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It's sad.
Tell me about
it. We're in a bad state. I want to ask you about, sorry, Rachel, I want to ask you about the new tenant bill of rights that the federal government's talking about.
Well, okay. So I'm like, okay. So I heard about this and I was just like, he's just trying to get reelected because this is crap. Because, okay. So the provinces have like such very, like it's provincial legislation. Right? That's why a lot of Ontario landlords are investing in Alberta and Calgary and all these different areas because they want nothing to do with Ontario's joke of a landlord and tenant board. I mean, tenure rights here are like, it's completely ridiculous. Okay. It's like over the top because here's how can I say, like people act like eviction is the wrong, like always the worst thing that can happen to anybody. And I mean, it's not, I mean, like, it's just like, if you can't pay for it, you have to leave. Like there's some pragmatic element to that. You can't just stay in a place you can't afford. Like, nobody feels sorry for me if I want a Lamborghini instead of a, you know, old Toyota. Like, I'm driving a 2004 Honda minivan right now. Not because I can't afford better, but, you know, it's like nobody cares if you can't buy a Lambo, you know? So, like, why are people going to places that cost the amount of Lambos, you know, and then they get kicked out? And it's like, it's rewarding bad behavior, and it's going to make the problem worse. Like, if we kind of embrace that people cannot move into places they can't afford and not pay the rent and make it the landlord's problem, you know, then if they stopped make it profitable for scammers, then scammers would stop doing it. You know, like, if you were out in a month or two, it wouldn't be worth it anymore. If you take, if you get to soak a landlord's for, you know, a year's rent, then of course, then it's worth it and people are going to do it more. It's just that simple. And a lot of people have adopted it as a lifestyle at this point and are really, you know, so that's the issue. So that's Ontario. Alberta, I believe it's like 10 days and the sheriff comes and gets you out. Like, there's no hearing, there's no anything. It's just like, you're out, you're out. They don't have lease renewals. If at the end of your lease, your landlord doesn't want to renew your lease, they don't renew your lease.
Mm-hmm. Fixed terms, yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so that's like the ones I know. BC has different rules about...
They're similar to Ontario, yeah.
Yeah, similar... Probably. Different, a little bit harder. I don't know. Like, I think Ontario is like more tenant centric. I mean,
what do you think about? Sorry to interrupt. What do you think about if a tenant's credit profile is affected by their rent payments?
Rachel said she's gonna get their credit anyways if they don't pay. She says, "Yeah, I'm gonna fuck up your credit until you pay me." Didn't you say that before?
You get a writ from the sheriff. Not right. Only do you...
Okay, well, what about positively? So now this is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be if the tenant maintains their payments every single month, so that way they know that it's going to help them buy a home in the future. Do you think that'll influence them to pay their rent on time?
No. I think good tenants pay their rent on time. I like on the first of the month, I start getting rent. People know when their rent is due. They're not, you know... little children, they know when their bills are due and they pay it. I mean, that's not the reason why people don't pay rent. They don't not pay rent because they don't know how to pay a bill. I mean, that's silly. They either don't have the money or they've mismanaged their money in some cases, or in some other cases, they just want to screw the landlord. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's very deliberate. You know, there's a lot of document fraud. There's a lot of things going on. So in those cases, you know, there's just a deliberate, like my guys that just defaulted, like I was saying before, that it was like 5 years before I had the last one I had, but they moved in, didn't pay anymore. Like, they were late on their first month and it just went on like that. Yeah. So that's the issue, right? Like, people move in and, you know, and it's right away. Like, they don't wait. It's not like a single mother with, you know, kids that's fooling around with her rent money. Those people are, you know, usually pretty good, you know.
Or in government subsidized housing somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I manage a building in Newmarket where I have a lot of that tenant profile, and I actually like it a lot. I like, that's part, like, I got into this business because I thought that providing housing was a valuable service, right, for families. The idea of, like, I don't like condos as a vehicle for rental properties.
No, it's stupid.
And it's really, how it's affected the market for purpose built is, like, there's like a bunch of people who jumped in because of the capital appreciation. Like, initially, when you bought a condo, the developer wasn't taking like future value like they do now, right? So that's part of the problem. Like, the developer wanted 200 grand or whatever, and they sold it to you for 200 grand. They didn't bake in the appreciation that might come in the 5 years while you're waiting for the things to get built. That was actually your gift for investing in the project early, right? So if, you know, at the end of the building period, 3 years, there was like 10% of appreciation that went to the person who helped build the building, the investor. But now then gradually over the years, they started, and this is the problem with some of the condos now, is like when they sold it, they, you know, like the price of condos was, let's say, 500,000, but they're like, oh, well, yeah, but in 5 years, when this thing is built, it's going to be worth 600,000. So we're charging you 600,000 today because it's going to be worth 600,000 5 years from now. But then you get to the 5 years from now, and of course, everything's changed now, and it's not worth 600,000.
Well, it was. You know? We're going to sell this to you for 500,000, but don't worry, by the time it's time to close, you'll be able to sell it for 650,000. So don't worry about it. Right. That's what,
even
happened.
Though it's only worth 400,000 today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't,
you
care
can only
about
rent
this.
It and lose 1,000 a month.
Yeah. Right. But if you look at the performance of the builders and you look at the end, how much money they're making and all that kind of stuff, they don't have an option. I think what's changed is the massive amount of development charges and city levies and fees that have been. I think the city and the governments got greedy. They saw all these developers starting to build. They said, how are we going to fund this? They shouldn't be making money. So they just kept starting, like, putting on taxes on taxes on taxes. HST, all that stuff that's come along. There's no money to be made for the builder. There's no longer any money to be made for the investor. It really doesn't make sense anymore. This model is broken. And then, you know, we're not going to build any more houses. So of course it's for the end user, for the tenants, for the people who would be living in those units, it's not working. Not like working. We really have our hands full here with issues that are not solved. Like, everyone keeps talking about solving the housing crisis and all that stuff. I think the situation we're in is unsolvable. We just need to learn what the rules are of the game and play by them. That's what it is. But I don't think there's a solution where we're going to come out of this and everything's going to just be back on track again. Greed will take over and it'll get back off track again if that does happen. You know?
But greed is an important part of the equation, because why are people getting up in the morning? We live in a capitalistic society. And so, like, that's kind of a problem with all the solutions that are proposed, like, especially, you know, I don't know, like all these people are proposing stupid solutions, you know, and it's like, how's that going to work? Like, including this renter's bill of rights, right? Like, what's that going to do? Like, okay.
Nothing.
Tenants can get a couple credit cards if they want a high credit rating, you know,
right?
Like, why are you including your rent? And then some fat fingered Larry property manager messes up their credit and then they have to fight with,
the bank's looking at the application. They're just like, well, he hasn't made any of his credit card payments on time for the last 6 years, and he owed that car company the money for his loan that he never paid them back. Oh, but he paid his rent on time. Yeah, let's give him a mortgage. This is a great person to lend money to. That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
it might actually. Because there's going to be new mortgage rules. Did you hear that announcement? Trudeau came out.
They said there's
saying,
going
hey,
to be
hey,
new. There's going to be new stuff. But we don't know what it is. They just said it's going to be part of our plan.
But they're going to fix everything now because it's time to vote. This guy's going to come fix everything. And so what I think we've seen here is that we actually are making progress right now with the landlord tenant board, with the idea of funding more construction, with the idea of allowing planning to be more flexible and faster. It seems like they're actually onto something, but the problem right now is that they've got everything back to how it was maybe 3-4 years ago, like with lead times and wait times. Landlord tenant board was already at like 3-4 months before it skyrocketed to a year and a half, and now they've got it back down to 4 while they've added like 10,000 people or employees to the mix to do it. We're fucked, everybody. We're fucked. Rachel,
I don't know why you say that, because you
fucked.
Know, I'm going to be the optimist, and that doesn't happen very often. Okay.
No. You're going to be optimistic right before you give me the boot out of this place.
Listen,
you're going to find a better place here. Don't worry. This eviction is not really the end of the line for you. You're going to find a better place. You're going to get back up on your feet.
My niece, when she moves out again.
You guys are being so cruel. You know, it's not the, can I tell you guys something? I know I think I told you guys before, I talked about it on Twitter. I moved to this house. This is a rented house, right? I pay less than $4,000 for 3,500 square feet of a gated community house, because in my house, the house that I own outright in Scarborough, there was a shooting at my son's school, and I'm like, I'm not staying in this area anymore because I have like one son and forget about it. So I moved to Aurora, where there is a lot less shootings in schools. How about that? Anyway, so I'm like a year and a month into, and I was very transparent with the landlord. I want my son to stay here until he finishes high school. He's in grade 10. You know, like, he's decided to sell the property. So I myself am getting like the boot out of this place. So I'm actually looking for another place as we speak. It's not the end of the world, guys. Yeah. You know, like, it's not like
you put on your boots and you figure out how to make
it. Yes, I won't lie. It's a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass. You're lucky it wasn't a year ago or a year and a half ago when nobody could find a place and people were like, you know, sacrificing their first child to get a lease agreement somewhere.
Yeah, signing all sorts of fake documents. Right? Rachel, videos. We could talk to you all day, but unfortunately,
TK has
the
an
end
award
of the show
to go get again.
And so we always appreciate you having come on, and I know the listeners do too. And last time we had you on, the comments were really positive. So I know we're going to get you back on again in the future. And I always refer my clients who need your services. I'm always looking to try to get them a great property manager. Where can people looking for property management find you?
Just my website, Landlord Rescue Inc. And I'm there, and they can just call me. Anybody
so Google Landlord Rescue Inc. and you will find Rachel. That's what I do when I need her.
Put a link in the description below. Mr. TK.
We appreciate you, Rachel. Daryl.
Rachel.
Good show. And life is good, guys. Dawn. It's not the world. Like, I mean, you know, the Middle Ages were so much worse. You could get your head chopped off for looking at the prime minister, like the king, wrong. So at least
we're
doing
pretty good here. No heads have been
good.
Chopped
no
off
heads are rolling
in my neighborhood.
They
at least
should there exactly. Should be some heads. There should be some heads rolling around here. I think maybe soon, maybe next week after the eclipse.
There you go.
Good luck, everyone. Hi,
Rachel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.